Welcome to another episode of Straight Talk with My OBMD. I'm your host, Dr. Dana Smith, board-certified OBGYN physician and the founder of the amazing website myobmd.org. On today's episode of Straight Talk with My OBMD, we'll be discussing the science of weight loss. And this is occurring as a part of a series. The first series was published under the title, The Science of Weight Loss with a Focus on Nutrition. On today's podcast, our focus will be on physical activity as it relates to weight loss. So this is an exciting topic. I can't wait to have this discussion with you. Stay tuned. Welcome to Straight Talk with My OBMD podcast. Join me for a bi-weekly discussion on topics most relevant to women's health today. We are your source for medically accurate, real-world advice in all things related to your health and well-being as a woman. From menses to menopause, we've got you covered. I'm your host, Dr. Dana Smith, a fully practicing, board-certified OBGYN physician with close to 20 years experience. I am also the founder of the website that is 100% dedicated to women's health, myobmd.org. At myobmd.org, we write in all aspects related to women's health. Listen to our podcast, visit our website, subscribe to our newsletter, and follow us on Facebook and Instagram, myobmd.org. Welcome back to the Science of Weight Loss on Straight Talk with My OBMD podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Dana Smith, founder of myobmd.org. So let's talk about weight, okay? We previously discussed why weight matters, why weight our body weight, that is more than just a number, and how it impacts so many aspects of our lives. Its tentacles just falls into so many different areas. Not only does it impact our medical health, it impacts our emotional health, it impacts our relationship, and our longevity. So we discussed the nutritional aspect of weight loss, how we can set ourselves up for success, and what are some of the strategies that we can do to be successful on this weight loss journey that so many of us are on. So today I want to talk about the weight loss journey as it pertains to physical activity. And why is physical activity such an important part of our weight loss journey? And here is the science behind that. Let's take a minute to look at what our weight actually reflects. When we get on the scale and we see that number, okay, what is that number telling us? So let's say you see, hypothetical, 100 pounds. So your body has 100 pounds of stored energy, okay? So the amount of energy that is stored in your body is reflective of your weight. So a person that has 200, that weighs 200 pounds has twice the amount of stored energy as someone that weighs 100 pounds. Now, that sounds pretty good, right? That we're storing up this energy. Why is that a bad thing? Well, the problem is that is stored energy, yes. So if you go into a starvation mode, if you go somewhere where you do not have access to food, if you're stranded on a desert island for months, the person that weighs 200 pounds will be better off because they have a lot more stored energy than the person that weighs 100 pounds, right? However, in real life, we're not stranded on a desert island. We're living amongst our brethren, and we have full access to food. So that stored energy becomes problematic. The reason why that stored energy, such a high degree of stored energy, becomes problematic, one, it is very unlikely that you will need to use that degree of stored energy in real life, okay? And the issue is that the more weight we have, even though it's stored potential energy, having more weight, it takes a lot more effort to harness that energy. So for instance, if you weigh 200 pounds versus someone that weighs 100 pounds, and I'm not proposing 100 pounds as a healthy weight, I'm just using it as an example, hypothetical, so we're clear. If you are going to walk, let's say you're simply walking, the amount of effort you need to achieve that activity successfully is a lot more than the person that weighs less, okay? Simply because our bodies, our joints now have more weight on them, so our knees, our legs have to lift more. With every step, our legs are lifting more. Our heart is working harder. It takes a lot more effort to do that activity. And so what a lot of people do, because it does require so much effort to do the activity, rather than kind of pushing through, a lot of people pull back and decide not to do the activity. And thus becomes the vicious cycle of weight gain, because now you're eating, but you're not expending that energy, and so the weight starts to add up. So having more weight means that more energy, more effort is needed to do the same tasks as someone with less weight, and that can become taxing for most of us, okay? So you're doing a push-up, let's say. You're pushing up 200 pounds. It's hard. It's hard. It's harder than someone that's pushing up 150 pounds, okay? That's some of what's going on physically with us that we're actually experiencing and seeing. Now, on a biological level, there's stuff going on inside our bodies, right? So let's take a step back and look at what's going on inside your body from a scientific standpoint. So let's start with a vital organ, our heart. Our heart needs to pump blood to every part of our body, from our head to our toes, right? Our heart is going to beat on average 50 to 100 times per minute. That's a lot of times. Right? Per minute, it's doing that 50 to 100 times. So the more weight that is in your body, the more energy it will require for your heart to perform that very basic function. In addition to that, as the heart is beating, for those who have an excessive amount of weight gain, right? That heart, that weight is now pressing against this very vital organ. So not only is it squeezing really tight, our heart is squeezing so tight. Oh, I gotta pump this blood. I gotta pump this blood. I gotta get this blood to her toes. I gotta get this blood to every little vessel in her brain. And I'm gotta pump, pump, keep pumping. Right, and it's just doing such a good job, stressing itself out, trying to get blood everywhere. It's now doing this while there's something pressed down against it. So our body's weight is now pressing down against it. And it becomes really difficult. It can cause cardiac fatigue. And so when our heart is doing that, it's working so hard. What happens? What are the consequences of that? You have heard of high blood pressure. High blood pressure is one of the things that is more prevalent in those in when you're overweight or obese. Okay, so if you struggle with your weight, you're more likely to experience high blood pressure or hypertension. Now, because the muscles in our bodies are now surrounded by fat, the fat cells are kind of everywhere now, and they're surrounding our blood vessels, it does make it even harder for the heart to do its function, because rather than having a nice smooth road for that blood to flow down, you have fatty deposits within the vessels. So now the blood is having a more turbulent flow in our vessels, right? It's not a nice smooth silk road. There's a little bit of potholes that it has to dodge. There's some blockage that it has to go around. And that means in order to go around that blockage, our heart has to work even harder. It has to work even harder to pump that blood to get it to do it. And our heart does a great job. It's a super organ, right? It does such a great job. It just keeps going. It'll do it, because it knows its function is so vitally important to us surviving. Now, that high pressure flow, though, it one affects two things. One, if that high pressure flow through our blood vessels is constant and it gets higher and it's persistent, one, it puts you at risk for a stroke. Okay, because that turbulent flow is just not a healthy way for blood to be delivered to our organs. You want the blood to flow really nicely. And the roads that blood is flowing down is through our veins and our arteries. If we have too much fat, first when we start to eat fatty foods, the fat goes in on our muscles, under our skin, right? Eventually, when it kind of that area becomes saturated, it starts to deposit on our vital organs and in our blood vessels. And so when it starts to do this, it becomes real dangerous, because now that blood is flowing down a road that is just filled with blockages. And in order to get the blood through to your little toe, that heart needs to pump like crazy, and it will. It will keep doing it. But just like anything else, it starts to get tired. It starts to get tired. Our poor heart, it'll just keep pumping, keep pumping, keep pumping. But then it gets fatigue. And that's when something starts happening called heart failure. Okay? That's when our heart just gets too tired. And now it just needs medicines just to help it do its function. We do not want to get to that point. Heart failure is very difficult to treat. We just do not want to get to that point. So our weight is a lot more than just a number. It is very, very consequential. Okay? So we want to get to the point where our body is able to function without being impeded by fatty deposits within our blood vessels. Okay? Because at that point, our risk of very serious illnesses shoots way up. Okay? This is one of the reasons why weight is so, so impactful on our health. Okay? Now, mind you, I just want to point out, stress can have a similar effect. Okay, because stress leads to hormones that constrict our blood vessels. And when it constricts it, it makes it smaller, it narrows it. Okay, and then that still has the same effect where our blood is flowing, but now rather than having a nice wide silk road to flow down, the road is narrowed. And so the flow becomes turbulent, and it can have the similar effect of what we're talking about with fatty deposits. So just so we're aware, it's very important that we're aware of these stressors to our body, whether it be physical in terms of weight, whether it be emotional or otherwise, such as stress, okay? So these things, they have an impact on a microscopic level to our bodies. They are not without consequence. So now that we have discussed how the weight affects our body in such an intimate level, how can we address this? Before, in our previous podcast, we discussed how nutrition affects it, okay? How nutrition affects our weight and how we can use strategies so that that nutritional process can help us and not harm us. Now, the other part of that coin of achieving a healthy weight is physical activity. It is not possible to discuss maintaining or achieving a healthy weight without a discussion of activity. Regardless of your physical limitations, activity has to be a part of that, okay? We discussed a little bit about this before, our caloric requirements for the day. Calories means energy. So our energy requirements of each day will vary according to the amount of energy we need for us to carry out our basic function. If you are sedentary, meaning that you're sitting for most of the day, it's very unlikely that you're going to need more than 1,500 calories. You're likely going to need more like 1,200 calories just to carry out your basic bodily function. If you are moving around for most of the day, such as if you work in the arts or the theater industry, the food industry, professional cleaners, people that clean people's homes, cleans offices, hospitals, hotels, their caloric demand will be greater. So their caloric demand will be closer to 1,800 to 2,000 calories per day. It is rare for someone to require more than 2,200 calories daily. Okay, it's just very rare. That's a high amount of calories. I don't know anyone that requires that unless you are a professional athlete. You're just working that body all day long. Your caloric demand will be higher. So most of us will need somewhere between 1,200 to 2,000 calories per day, okay? Now, remember, hydration is also a daily requirement. And hydration is also necessary for your body to achieve its daily activity and its daily function. If you are active, you will need more water than someone who is not as active. One way for us to determine if you're meeting your body's demand for hydration is very, very simple. Look at your urine. When you urinate, look at it, okay? If it is clear, you are doing a great job. Keep it up. You are keeping yourself well hydrated, and you just continue doing what you're doing. If it is concentrated, if it is yellow, God forbid it's orange, you can do better, okay? You will need to drink water daily until you get to that point where your urine is clear, and you will need to continue that for it to be maintained, okay? So hydration is a part of that demand for your body. Hydration, water hydration has zero calories, but it is still a very important part of your body's daily requirement. So let's now talk about movement, okay? Why is movement such an important part of staying healthy? Well, not just for weight loss, but movement is one of our natural mood boosters. Movement boosts our mood, okay? So dancing, Whether you are a good dancer or not, no judgment, it doesn't matter. But dancing, movement around in nature, it just releases our feel-good hormones. It lifts our spirit. We feel more hopeful. We feel more optimistic. It's just a fantastic way of just keeping our spirits lifted. I am a strong believer in movement, in nature. I like to be outside. If you don't like to be outside, that's fine. Move in your living room. Move in your bedroom. Move in your shower. Just do something. Move those hips. Move around, okay? Get that body moving just so you can help to boost your spirit. Now, the other thing that movement is good for is to release of stored energy. And the release of this stored energy will aid in weight loss. We previously discussed that our weight is a reflection of the amount of stored energy that we have. And so if you have a greater amount of stored energy, you, i.e. your weight is greater than the next person, then you have more stored energy, which means that if you are food deprived for an extended period of time, you'll do great. But in most cases, we are not food deprived for an extended period of time. And so we really need to expend that energy because it will become harmful to our bodies to just keep that stored energy in without expending it. So how much movement do we actually need? The answer will depend on your weight loss goal, okay? If you want to gain weight, lose weight, or maintain weight. If you want to gain weight, then you still need to move because it still has those cardiovascular benefit, the emotional benefit, it's beneficial to our joint. But of course, what you still need to eat healthy. But if you want to gain weight, you're going to want to focus more on eating foods that are very high in nutrition, but maybe have a little bit more calories. So foods such as nuts and seeds may be added to your beverages so that you can gain weight in a healthy fashion. Let's face it, that's not the case for most of us. Most of us either want to maintain weight or even more commonly, you want to lose weight, okay? So some of us have these fitness devices, and a lot of these fitness devices, they recommend like 10,000 steps daily. That is an arbitrary number, okay? It's not necessarily based in anything, but that doesn't make it a bad thing. 10,000 steps is a lot. 10,000 steps is about 5 miles for most people. And that's a lot of steps. If you are doing your 10,000 steps per day, so you are walking at least 5 miles, and that's great, okay? Walking in place is not... I've seen people do that. I'm not a fan, okay? You just are not getting the same benefit as actually extending your legs, moving your arms, walking a distance, okay? So the 10,000 steps per day, if you're able to do it, that is wonderful, okay? Now, within the U.S., the CDC has certain recommendations regarding activity, okay? If you want to maintain your weight, the CDC recommends that you expend 150 minutes of exercise, of moderate activity weekly, and 2 days of strength training activity. So that is just for weight maintenance. If you would like to lose weight, then you want to do 150, you want to do more than 150 minutes of moderate activity, and you want to do the 2 days of strength training activities. So, excuse me, weight maintenance is 150 minutes of moderate activity. You do not necessarily have to do the strength training activity, though that does is important to help us as part of keeping our joints healthy. However, for weight maintenance, 150 minutes of moderate physical activity. But for weight loss, you want to do more than 150 minutes of moderate activity. And 150 minutes, that's about 2.5 hours or 30 minutes each day, 5 days per week. That's 150 minutes. So if you want to just maintain your weight, you want to do at least that. Losing weight, you want to do more. So if you want to lose weight, you may want to do 6 days per week of 30-minute exercise of moderate activity in addition to your 2 days of strength training activity. So it will be totally up to you how you go about doing this part, okay? It'll be according to what works for you. But if you want to lose weight, you want to do more than 150 minutes. How much more than 150 minutes you want to do will all depend on the rate of your weight loss desired. 1 pound is the equivalent of 3,500 calories. If you have a weight loss goal of 1 to 2 pounds per week, that is reasonable. If you are in the obese category, right? A weight loss goal of 2 pounds per week may be feasible because you will be burning more calories doing the same activity as someone that has less weight. So having more weight means that it will require more energy to do the same activity as someone who's lighter. So if you are, let's say you're doing push-ups, you do 50 push-ups and you're obese, then you would have worked off more calories than the person that did the same 50 push-ups that is overweight but not obese. So a two pound loss per week is reasonable the more weight you have. If you are overweight but not obese, it may be harder to get to 2 pounds per week. You may try to do maybe 1 pound per week because it's going to take a lot more energy to get to that 2 pound per week loss. So again, considering that 3,500 calories is the equivalent of 1 pound, that is the equivalent of about 500 calories per day for 7 days. Okay. And that weight loss goal can be achieved. Typically, it's better if you have a goal of achieving that through some combination of reduced calorie intake as well as increased calorie expenditure, i.e. working out. So let's talk about the physical activity, right? When we have a goal of increasing our physical activity, first we have to think of why haven't we been doing that already? Why haven't we been doing that? So here are some of the barriers. A big one is time. You have to sacrifice the time that you would be spent doing something else in order to fit in this activity. What are you willing to sacrifice? What are you willing to sacrifice? Only you can answer this question. Will you need to sacrifice some TV time? Do you need to sacrifice some household chores that keeps taking up a lot of your time? Do you need to make peace with a little dirty dishes or looking at the laundry for a little bit so that you can fit your workout in? Do you need to sacrifice some extra time you've been putting in at work in order to get your workout in? So only you can truly answer that question for yourself. What will I need to sacrifice in order to get that workout time in, whatever that may be, 150 minutes per week or more, as well as 2 days of strength training activity? Now, if you truly feel like, wow, I just do not have the time, let's talk about how can you incorporate your activity into your existing routine. Okay, can you take the stairs at work? Are you able to park further away and walk to your building or grocery store so that you're getting more steps in? Can you walk the dog at a brisk pace? Right? Can you walk the dog? Can you do a multifunction while you're walking your dog? Can you do push-ups or lift some dumbbells during commercials if you're watching TV? So how can you incorporate that activity into your existing routine, or what can you sacrifice out of your existing routine in order to get that activity in? Another big barrier to physical activity is our outdoor elements, right? So that may be the weather, right? So if you live in a particularly cold environment, it may be hard. Or if you live in a particularly hot environment, it can still be a challenge. Okay, are you going to bundle up and brave it? Or are you going to join a gym? Are you going to work out at home? I will say that for those that live in the really cold or really hot weather and you want to go outside, if you are able to find someone to buddy up with, that would probably be very beneficial to you. Because buddying up, it just creates a different level of accountability so that you're more likely to get out there and brave the elements, whatever the elements may be, in order to get that workout in. I really like spending times outdoors, but again, that's me, you know, what works well for you. Now, you may live in an area where there may not be sidewalk, so, or you may not feel safe walking around your neighborhood, whether because there's a lot of traffic without sidewalk, or whatever the case may be, you just may not feel safe walking around outside in your neighborhood. And so you may want to consider what are some indoor activities that you can do, right? And these indoor activities you can do whether you have a large space or a small space, right? So think about some of the things you can do. You can run in place. You can do jumping jacks. You can do jump rope. Again, you can join a gym or a fitness center. Finding group activities at these fitness centers, I feel, are key because all you have to do then is show up. You show up, there's an instructor that's telling you what to do. There, you just have to do what they tell you and you're done, okay? If you have physical limitations, so if your body has some physical restraints or physical limitations, you want to always see your doctor before getting started. You want to see your doctor before it gets started, period. But even more so, if you have these physical limitations, they may refer you to a rehab specialist or a physical therapist to increase your body's physical capabilities. So there's always something that you can do to improve your body's physical fitness. But here, guys, is the number one barrier to most people's success. When it comes to physical activity, is our degree of motivation. How motivated are you to get this done? Until our motivation becomes higher than our frustration, either with the activity or with the barriers, until that motivation, that reason we're doing it, becomes greater than any other excuse or reason we may find to not do it, we are really in big trouble, okay? The degree of motivation is determined by your why. Why do you want to lose weight, for instance? You want to keep asking yourself this question until you get to your big why. Your first answer is rarely your big why. So, you may say, hey, why do you want to lose weight? Oh, you know, I want to get into this dress I've bought and I really want to get into it. Or this whatever clothing item I've bought and I really want to fit in it. Or I have a function coming up. I have a wedding coming up. I have my daughter's wedding or my son's wedding coming up. I have X graduation, family reunion, class reunion, whatever. There's an event that's coming up. I want to look really good for it. Those are all great motivations. I doubt those will be your big why, though. Okay? So if you keep going, you keep asking yourself, why, until you get to the point where you find what is your big why, your big motivation for this, for taking on this very difficult journey? You may say, I want to feel good. I want to have more energy. I want to prove to myself that my weight will not defeat me. I want to live longer. Why do you want to live longer? I want to be there for my family as long as I can. I want to see my children or my grandchildren grow. I want to break the cycle of obesity in my family. So these are all different reasons. And your why may not be any of these. Your why will be personal to you. And you will know it when it hits home and it hits your heart. When you have determined what your big why is, be sure to write it down. Write it down. Place it in a spot where you can see it daily. Remind yourself daily why you have taken on this journey. This will be one of your biggest factors for success. I know you can do it. So let's do it together. Take the time to share with me your ultimate why. I would love to hear it. Thanks again for listening to another episode of Straight Talk with My OBMD. I'm your host, Dr. Dana Smith, founder of myobmd.org. Please visit our website. We have a whole bunch of stuff that tells you about weight loss, diets, exercises, less heart disease, how our weight affects all of that. So please check us out. Let us know how we're doing. Let us know what we can do better. And let us know your strategies for success so we can continue sharing. Thanks for listening, and I cannot wait to get with you again for the next episode of Straight Talk with My OBMD. Thank you for listening to another episode of Straight Talk with My OBMD podcast. To learn more about this topic, visit our website at myobmd.org. Subscribe to our newsletter, follow us on Facebook and Instagram. I can't wait to spend more time with you on our next episode of Straight Talk with My OBMD.